talking with parents of kids who were on the autism spectrum, not necessarily even just kids. The example of the Orange County experience at Sagerstrom Hall was a young man, 18 years old. But when you've got someone close to you who's on the autism spectrum and you don't necessarily know how they're going to react to different stimulus in a highly public setting, how do you help prepare for that? And what suggestions do you have for organizations that are putting on public performances? Are there things that they can do which don't intrude on the experience of the other patrons at the event, but would be helpful for your son and daughter or friend in dealing with the experiences of the live event? Could be a theatrical production, could be a concert, could be a movie screening. What are some things that are helpful, and how do you help prepare for that experience with a person close to you? 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Alicia, in Pasadena, I understand you're education director with the critically acclaimed theatrical group A Noise Within in Pasadena. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, so I'm the director of education at A Noise Within Theater, and I'm calling in to chime in because we offer, this is our second annual relaxed performance of our production of A Christmas Carol this December, and this is, a process that we go through a lot of work and a lot of preparation for. And as we began our initial process, a big thing for us was to also create an instructional video to help other performing arts venues do the same and other arts venues kind of understand how and what to expect if you are offering sensory friendly, or what to expect if those on the spectrum do come into your art space and what that's like. We focus a lot on our training. We work with USC and CSUN to help our actors and staff understand what they can expect and to understand what those with sensory sensitivities experience and how and why our bodies and brains react to sensory things in the world around us.
So in the relaxed performances that you offer, is this just for patrons who are on the spectrum and their friends and family members, or is this a performance that tickets go on sale to the general public, but you bill it as a relaxed, somewhat desensitized performance?
It's the latter. It's absolutely welcome and open for all. It is a community event. Tickets are actually on sale now. We have special staff on hand. We do dim the lights. We eliminate any sensors, strobes. We do reduce the sound levels a bit. So it is a sensory-friendly production, but it is open and available to any and all who would like to attend.
And then the actors, they're prepared that there may be movement or sounds coming from the audience that don't necessarily relate to what they're doing on stage, but to just go with the flow of that.
Correct, yeah. So we have a two-hour training prior to the performance where anyone who's going to be in the building on that day gets a training about what they can expect, what they might see, what they might hear, as well as putting them in the shoes of our patrons who are visiting who may be on the spectrum, who may have some sensory sensitivities, to understand how and why they're reacting and to really understand why this is so important that we're doing this.
All right. Thank you so much, and wonderful to hear about A Noise Within. For those of you not familiar, it's one of the most critically acclaimed local theater groups in greater Los Angeles. They're based in Pasadena, and Alicia, the education director of the organization, thank you so much for being with us. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Karen tweets at AirTalk, "I'm the parent of a 15-year-old with autism. In answer to your question about public entertainment, we just don't take him. He has been to sensory-friendly movies, but rarely typical showings." That's Karen, whose tweets at AirTalk, 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Also with us is Moctezuma from Pasadena. Good to have you with us.
Good to be with you, Larry. I'm the CEO of Maya Cinemas, and we have...
Oh, Moctezuma Esparza.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Good to have you with us, too.
Well, my pleasure. And we have a monthly screening, free, for all children who are developmentally disabled, where we turn down the sound and we turn up the lights. And you know, give them an experience of seeing the first run family film. And we do that on a monthly basis in all our locations. And all our locations also have family rooms, which we call cry rooms, where a family can, at any time for any movie where there is a cry room, request to be there at no additional cost. And the family gets to be in their own space in an executive room.
You don't have to cry.
In order for the family to enjoy the movie and not feel
That's
like
nice.
They have to leave their child at home with a family member to babysit or to have that extra expense.
For these special screenings, Moctezuma, what kind of ticket sales do you get for them?
Well, we don't sell those tickets separately. So anybody buys a ticket for a regular admission, and if they want to go into the executive cry room, they may.
Okay. So do you though have ones where you turn the volume down or the lighting is different? Do you do those kinds of specialized screenings?
We do that once a month, and those screenings are free.
Free? Oh, great. Okay.
We do that once a month at Maya Cares program.
All right.
Part of our community engagement, where we have a free screening for the children, and their caretakers have a reduced ticket price of $3 or $4. So it's nominal.
That's terrific. The Maya Theater Group. Moctezuma, good to have you with us. Thanks so much. We appreciate it. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. I was sharing before the break, I had a recent experience. I'm on the board of the 8-Ball Foundation, which is a nonprofit that helps journalists who have had financial need, who've fallen on hard times, and we make grants to individuals who are in need. And we were holding a committee meeting at a restaurant in Burbank, and there was a family that was seated at the table next to us. And the boy who was there with this family, he was right next to me, and he turns over and he puts his head right next to mine, and he starts, you know, he's moving and talking loudly. And first I was kind of annoyed, and then I realized, oh, he's on the spectrum. It took me a moment for it kind of to click in. I was thinking, oh, why is he being so rude? And why aren't his parents intervening, until I realized the circumstance of it? And then I just, you know, I just chatted him up as best I could. And he started relating a little bit more to his parents. But, I really felt for the parents in that circumstance. They want to take their family out. They want their son, along with their other kids, to be able to experience that. And yet, you know, their son is going to act in a way according to his condition. And that's life. And so the question is, you know, how do you handle that in a restaurant setting? 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. In fact, Gary in Calabasas wants to talk about the restaurant experience. We'll speak with him about that coming right up. You're listening to AirTalk on 89.3 KPECC. Back in 1 minute. We're talking about a recent incident, the Orange County Performing Arts Center, Segerstrom Hall, a performance of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And it was actually a second visit for a mother and her 18-year-old son. He has autism. And he was making some noises and moving around in a way that apparently bothered some of the other patrons who were there for the performance. So the ushers came and asked the young man and his mother if they would leave, and the young man melted down. And the question is how best to deal with this. And, you know, the Performing Arts Center put out a statement that, you know, they're doing their best to try and sensitize employees and you know, figure out creative and supportive ways of dealing with this. They're obviously in a tough position, though, because they're also trying to protect the experience for the patrons that are there, you know, theater goers who've paid a lot of money to go see live theater at a first-class venue like that. And, you know, how do you balance those two things? My question for parents is, how do you deal with this? 866-893-KPECC. Gary in Calabasas, you want to talk about how you deal with this in a restaurant with your child on the spectrum. How do you deal with that?
Well, first of all, it's strictly up to the parent. I have a son who's on the spectrum, and, you know, there's all levels of gradations on that spectrum. Now, when he was younger, we used to take him to a restaurant, and as soon as he started to act out, it was up to me to take him out. I'd take him into the car, and as long as he had this meltdown, whatever it was, I would stay in the car with him and then come back into the restaurant when he settled down. So later on, when we bought tickets to a theater, we would make sure that we would buy tickets on the aisle. If that same thing happened, I would take him out. So it's up to the parents. It's not they don't have to leave it to the usher to come over. The parents should know by that time that the child, whatever age he is having a problem, and he needs to be exited from the theater, the restaurant, the venue, whatever it is.
Okay.
That is disturbing to every other person around them.
Gary, I appreciate it very much. You know, when I had that experience at the restaurant in Burbank, my thought was that probably the reason the parents weren't intervening is they were very concerned that the kind of minor behavior where he was interrupting me and, you know, that was kind of low level compared to what might happen if they tried to remove him. He might have a big, very loud, very physical meltdown. And my assumption was they were trying to avoid that, thought this was the lesser of two challenges. But let me go to Amy Jane Griffiths, licensed clinical psychologist, a professor at Chapman University. Obviously, it's very challenging for parents. So is this one of the concerns parents have? They don't want to make it worse.
Yeah, definitely. That's correct. And it, as you said, it is such a challenge for parents. And if they feel like they can't take their children out into our community, it's very isolating for them. It's very isolating for the child and can lead to a number of mental health concerns. So it's really important, I think, number one, that we think about as a community, how can we be more accepting and respectful of other people in our culture who are a little bit different than we are. And like you said, when you were at the restaurant, once you realized that he wasn't being rude, that he was just had different needs and different behaviors than your typical community members, then you were able to accommodate it. And I think that's one thing we really need to share is that we need to be more understanding of different members of our community and figure out how we can be accepting and allow them to feel a part of our community rather than feeling like we have to segregate or isolate people, because it's not good for them and it's not good for us.
And I think a lot of it is empathy and understanding that parents want to take their kids out. They you know, they don't want to feel as though, because they have other children too. You know, most kids on the autism spectrum aren't only kids; they have siblings, and so this affects the entire family system. At the same time, I'm very sympathetic to the other theater goers at Charlie and the Chocolate Factory who felt like, I can't concentrate on what's going on the stage because this young man, not in his control, is having his autism experience, you know, leading to disruption during the program. Do you have any advice, Amy, on how to deal with a circumstance like that?
Yeah, I think there's sort of two approaches, right? One is more of the systemic community of and the businesses. What can they do to create a more welcoming environment while also considering their other patrons? So doing things like training their staff on de-escalation and helping if they see an individual with disability struggling, there's lots of ways that we can help de-escalate that. Things like offering choices, remaining calm, not using your physical body to help usher someone out. All of those things can be very triggering for someone with autism. So really getting lots and lots of training on that is important. Maybe offering earplugs or noise-canceling headphones so that people can enjoy the experience if the noise is too much. Offering a place to sit that's maybe where they may feel less stressed and they can move a little more. Kind of like they were talking about with the quiet room, having an option for the family, but not requiring it because then you're sort of segregating people, right? Allowing fidget items, if that helps the individual calm down, is great. All right. And then on the other side of things is thinking about the family. And with this article, the mom really did everything she could to prepare the kid, right? She went over the schedule of the show ahead of time, talked about the seating arrangements, even got an extra space for him so that he had more space and wouldn't bother other people, and maybe prepared him ahead of time, right, about if we have to move or things are going to change, how are we going to cope with that? So really working with the individual to plan ahead. And one thing that, as we talked about, those autism-friendly shows, those are great. They really help the parent feel less stressed. But it's also important that we understand that they shouldn't have to go to those, and that maybe that's a step towards being in a general audience. So maybe you go to the autism-friendly shows at first, prepare, understand what it's like, experience that, and then transition nicely into a general audience.
All right.
That would be ideal.
Amy Jane Griffiths of Chapman University, Assistant Professor of Clinical Psychology, we thank you so much for being with us. Let me read some more listener comments. Maureen in Santa Ana says, I have a 32-year-old autistic son. I prepare him as much as possible before we go out together. I never take him anywhere I'm not prepared to walk out of. If it's one of his favorite places to go, I try and incentivize good behavior as much as possible. Steve in Studio City says, we have a kid with serious disabilities. He's nonverbal and impaired. Sometimes he just turns around in a restaurant and grabs people by the hair. People are surprisingly understanding. Wow. That's Steve in Studio City. And Susan in Beverly Hills says, I have a son with autism. Going into a restaurant used to make me feel very embarrassed as people would stare at me. It made me not want to take him out. But these days, people are much more aware of kids with special needs. And now my son brings out the love in people. Susan, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. Great to have these parental stories talking about their sons and daughters who are on the autism spectrum. It's Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. We'll tell you about the second hour in a moment.